want to read, if I may, please, a few verses from the 13th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read first in the first verse through the 13th verse, and then maybe a verse or two towards the end. Or maybe the first four verses for the sake of time. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And then, if we may please, just a verse or two in the 14th chapter of that same blessed book. The 14th chapter, and we will commence reading for the sake of time again in verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now the Lord will add his blessing, I'm sure, to the reading of his own precious word. When some 3 weeks ago I looked at the title of the subject that was given me to speak upon, I thought, whatever am I going to say about that? But the more I thought about it and the more I prayed about it, while I may not have used these words to have given a title for what was on my heart, yet this is just what I wanted to share with the students and with those that have gathered here this afternoon. The tremendous importance of the Word of God in the work of God. We are living in days when all around us there are men and women that are substituting things for the Word of God. And if these young people have learned anything in the past days, they have learned how to come to the Word of God, to read it for themselves, to find what God has to say to them within its page. And we're all praying that in the coming days they may be mightily blessed of God in whatever way the Lord may lead them. But you will notice that the title of the address that I've been asked to give is The Value of Intensive Bible Study to the Evangelist. And so I must start off straight away by saying a word or two concerning the evangelist. I can think of very few portions in the Word of God that would sum up more perfectly the work of God than the verses that we have read, and the verses which are contained in between these verses that we have read. I'm going to draw your attention, if I may, to three very simple things. First of all, I want you to consider with me the evangelist and his ability for the work. Now, may I repeat that? The evangelist and his ability for the work. And then we're going to consider the portion a little further, and I'm going to think of the evangelist and his activity in the work. Not only his ability for it, but his activity in it. And then, of course, I must draw your attention, for this is one of the most important things in the particular passage to which we've turned, the evangelist and his accountability for the work. First, then, his ability for it, then his activity in it, and last of all, his accountability of the work. The 13th chapter of Acts is one of the portions that again and again servants of God have to face. The most challenging of all words to any young man or young woman that is facing the service of God in what is termed, in an expression I do not personally like, but we all understand, full-time work for the Lord. I wonder if I may bring, especially to my young friends behind me, I wonder if I may bring three thoughts concerning his ability for the work. Would you notice that, first of all, this man or these men had to face the demands of the work? Would you notice these demands? They are absolutely tremendous. before any man could stand out into the service of God, first of all, he had to face. Verse 1 tells us that it was the best talent in the church that was called. Oh no, God did not look around and see if he could find someone who somehow or another had not made it a success in his own local assembly. But there are given to us a list of men of business acumen, men of social position. We are given the list of men, and God says that there was found in the church at Antioch these men. And when God wanted a servant for himself, he went to the best ability that was available. He went to the finest talent in the local church. I was so thrilled, and we all were, especially those of us a little older, as our brother from Fiji stood up and dared to tell us that he had not learned it all in the Bible school. And I'm sure that if the principal would express his heart, he would say exactly the same. He would tell us that their desire has been so to instruct these young people in the Word of God that the Bible becomes a living book to them. That they go back to their homes and back to their businesses and back to their secular occupation, if you will, and back to their local assembly to put into practice the foundations that have been laid in these past days of study. And when God will call one of his servants, he will do what he did in the 13th of Acts. He will put his hand upon those who have the greatest ability in the church. And so I charge my young friends. I charge them with all my heart. Brethren and sisters, whatever else you do, make sure of the fact that you go on in intensive study of the Word of God. God can use a man's ignorance, but he does not use a man's ignorance when a man's wisdom is available. And if you're going to serve God, go on from this very time, so to be occupied with the Word of God, so to study it, that God, when he calls someone to labor for him, will be able to put his hand on you as young people in a local church who are doing something for him. You are in some measure going on. You have been sitting under the ministry of such capable men. Now you will be going back into an assembly to sit at the feet of the elders of your fellowship. Men who maybe not in academic standards would reach even the heights of the lecturers that you've listened to in past days. But I say this to you, that these men have as much to teach you. They have a years of experience of Christ, and what you have learned in the Bible and learned in the Bible school will be to esteem others better than yourselves. And if you've learned not that, then please God you might learn it this afternoon. Oh, here is their ability. First of all, God called the best talent in the church. Then, of course, God called the best talent. The scripture says this, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me. Oh, how important this is. Separate unto me. God said it. And by the way, will you notice this? While it is important that we who serve God shall be convinced that the call has come to us, will you notice the 13th of Acts, the call did not come to Barnabas and Saul. The call came to the church to separate them. And this is so important, that my young friends will be going back into their church fellowship, and the longing in the heart of the principal and the lecturers of the school is this, that when they go back they shall so prove to the elders of their fellowship that they know Christ and are walking with him, that those elders will be able to say, these are men and women that we can place our hand on and ask God's blessing upon them in the service of God. But then will you notice the third thing? Would you notice, please, that when we consider the demands of the work, would you notice that it not only places its hand upon the greatest talent in the church, it places its hand upon those that receive the direct call from God But it demands continually full consecration. My young friend who spoke last of all spoke of the fact that the most difficult thing he knew was to wait. And I'll tell you this, after many years of serving God, it's the most difficult thing I find to be able to wait. But that's what they did. God said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. And then, oh no, they did not rise up and say, now we're going to go. But with the church they fasted and prayed. They waited that God would direct them as to their walk. Here are the demands. But then will you notice in the work of God there are not only demands but difficulties. And may I speak on a very practical issue here. Would you notice that first of all, verse 4 tells us that these difficulties in the service of God started with the severing of home ties. Oh, hearken to the word again. Sent forth. Sent forth. They've been in Antioch. And there in Antioch they had indeed made friends. They gathered with those that they'd come to love in Christ. And God is saying to them, you've got to sever those friendships. You have to sever those home ties. There's something for you to do. I have a service for you in another place. Oh, look. May I bear this very afternoon, may I bear witness to the fact that as far as I am concerned, I could never have done what God wanted me to do unless my wife also had wanted God to do something through me and with me. Oh, you young folk, may I plead with you from the very depth of my heart. Whatever else you do in choosing your life partner, will you remember that if you're going to serve God, it may mean on occasions that you will be severed from loved ones. Severed. Don't let's look upon the work of God as some glorious thing. Let's face its difficulties of man, as men. Sometimes it means our children are separated from us. I wonder if I may do something that I have never done in my life. And I shuddered whether I should do it. Shuddered whether I should do it. But I want to press a truth home, especially to my young friends. When my daughter was 22 years of age, a young man came and asked if they could be married. And I said to my daughter, but Janet, you're only 22, my dear. Just you wait a year. And the girl that I love more than any other girl apart from my wife, the tears came into her eyes. And she said, Daddy, I don't think you've got the right to ask me that. And I looked at her. And I didn't know what to say. And I said, but listen, I'm your daddy. And my daughter looked at me and she said, I've never had a daddy. Do you know what that means? You know what that means? She has served God for 25 years, and in 25 years, if you get a month home, you've got a month home, and you're glad of it. Are you young folk ready for that? Are you ready for that? Oh, here are the demands of the work of God. This is not something that you are going into that has in it some glory. I look around and I see young folk toying with the things of God and my heart's moved. Oh, young people, whatever else you do, will you remember this? There are difficulties. I haven't time to go through the chapter any further and deal with the difficulties, for I haven't even got on the subject I want to talk about. Sufficient to say there were the demands for the work of God and the difficulties for the work of God. But oh, hallelujah, there are the delights in the work of God. And what glorious delights. Verse 4, the delight of being led by God himself. Verse 5, great opportunities to stand and preach the word to the Jews. Verse 7, a real interest as individuals send for you and ask to be instructed in the things of God. Verse 9, being filled with the Holy Ghost, a definite power for service. Why, I say, verse 12, definite and divine blessing of souls believe. Oh, my young friend, here is the ability for the work. It's demands. The demand for the evangelists. Or I say, the difficulties, the delights, and every one of them have their basis on this. How true do you believe the Bible is? How real do you believe the risen Christ of the Bible is? Oh, my friend, may I ask you today, my young friend who's facing life for God, unless there's some intensive Bible study and the daily reading of the Word of God, you'll never be an evangelist. God has a labor for you to do. But let's see that we indeed, by our urgent and earnest study, and I use the word urgent with all the power that's in me, for methinks it will not be long before the Lord comes back. Oh, that we might be ready, waiting. Ah, but then, not only his ability for the work, but his activity in the work. What did he do? May I draw your attention very quickly to a few things? Would you notice that first of all, he preached the word, verse 5 says, in the synagogues. Did you notice the expression? He preached the word in the synagogue. No, he did not preach a sermon. He preached the word. Do you see now the need for intensive Bible study? That when we stand before men and women, it is the word of the living God that we offer to them. I have no theories. All I am going to do is to offer men and women what God has to say. As some of you know, it has been one's joy over the few years to conduct the Bible readings in the University of Cambridge every year. And many a time I've sat there with a crowd of fellows in some of the colleges, and they have thrown at me philosophers and philosophies that I know nothing about. And all I do is just look at them and say, gentlemen, I do not know. I know this, that the Bible says, and I do not quote the Word of God, I turn its page and read it to them. And the most amazing thing to my heart is this, that it's been one's joy to have sat down with men who will leave their mark in the history of the world in the day that lies ahead. And one has seen the Word of God answer the very questions that they have thrown to us, although I personally have not always understood even the question. Oh, my young friend, never be ashamed of the Bible. They stood there before those that were in the synagogue. There were Jewish folk who knew the Bible as well as they did, knew the Old Testament as well as Saul of Tarsus. Yet they stood in an absolute confidence because they had studied the Scripture. No, they didn't stand before them and say, I'm going to sing you a little song. They didn't stand before them and look at them and say, well, now, just a moment, I've a recitation to give you. He stood in front of them and preached the word. Oh, my young friend, oh, especially these students, preach the word. Get occupied with the word and the word of God. But then will you notice something more? Would you notice that they not only stood before the synagogue and preached the word, but verse 7 says they stood before individuals. For there came this man who sent for them, this ruler, this man of authority and position. And they came, and this is what the Scripture says, and he desired to hear the word of God. Did you get that now? Not only did they preach the word, but the heathen desired to hear the word. My friend who stood with us today from the chat, and it's nice to see him. I knew his wife before he knew her. I knew his wife when she was a little tacker about this high. And there we are. It's good to see them here. But let me say this to you, that our brother will tell you after his labors in the chat, that there are men and women that have an ear, and an ear for the Word of God. Don't let's ever water down the Scriptures. But then will you notice they not only preached the word in the synagogue and they expounded the word to the individual, but they preached the whole word. Now I know what some of these young folks are, but I never went to Bible school, you know. No, I sat at the feet of some elders in a fellowship, and I thank God for every one of them. But I tell you this, I can remember as a young man just converted, sitting down at the feet of some of the elders in our fellowship, as they started to give us something of the history of the Bible. You know, I said on the radio just the other day, I have alliterated most chapters of the Bible that I might be able to retain in the back of my mind what the chapter's about. But when it comes to those chapters that are long lists of names, you know, all I do is bow my head and say, God bless them all. And sort of hope that I'm not being accused of praying for the dead. But nevertheless, you know, I can remember sitting down, just converted, and listening to these brethren speak to me of the history of the Old Testament. And I wondered whatever it meant. Why, I said to myself, this isn't that age. We're living in the 20th century. But when I come to this very chapter from which we've read, I see the Apostle Paul standing again in a synagogue. And he starts by preaching the history of the Word. He didn't just preach a little of it, he preached the whole of it. And I say, I never preach without notes. But I don't think he had any. He was so familiar with the Word of God that he stood there and he started first by speaking of the fact that God had chosen their fathers. He brought them out of Egypt. He'd taken them through the wilderness. He brought them into the promised land. And having preached the history, then he preached the law. He went through the judges and the prophets and the kings. And then he preached the prophets. I say, all in one sermon. Cool, some of you folk, when the preacher goes over 20 minutes, you begin to look at the clock. I'm glad that one up there stopped. And you couldn't see it anyway, because it's in the gallery. I only know this. I only know that here they spoke the history of the Bible. He preached the law of the Bible. He preached the prophecy of the Bible. For again and again he says, according to his promise. And then he went even further and he preached the fulfillment of it. He said, we preach unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise that was made unto our fathers, God hath fulfilled the same, in that he hath raised up Jesus from the dead. And then he hadn't finished, for he preached the whole of the Word of God. He preached its purposes. For he said, be it known therefore unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Or if I've done nothing more, have I not done this afternoon? This is what I've endeavored to do. Have I not brought to you the tremendous fact that when those evangelists went out in the early days, they went out with the Word of God, but they knew that they had studied, that they lived with, that they cared about, that they reverenced, and they preached it all. Oh, I'm not thinking that these young men and young women are going to be able to stand before us like a Mr. St. John or like a Mr. H.B. Barker, not at their age. But if the Lord tarries and they grow to be the age of Mr. St. John and Mr. Barker, I expect I'll be home in glory then. But if not, I'll expect them to know what those men knew. Oh, you young people, what a privilege it's been yours to be able to stand these 2 years, day by day, in reading the Word of God. But never, 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 whatever else you do, never go from this place saying, I've had my 2 years, and now I can take it a little easier. You've only learned enough to work the harder, and search the more diligently, and express more fully the purposes and the counsels of God. Because you notice the last thing, not only here were those and their ability for the work, and their activity in it, but will you notice their accountability of the work, that when they had visited and labored, they returned to the church that had commended them, and they gathered the people together. May I read those verses? They sailed to Antioch, they gathered the church and rehearsed all that God had done with them and opened the door unto the Gentiles. You've asked again and again, I believe I'm right in saying that to the chairman, to the principal, to the young man, the four testimony at the end, as well as the others, again and again, you have asked us to pray for you. If we pray for you, remember the day will dawn when we'll look at you and say, give an account of yourselves. We pray for you. We've given of our time. We've given of our effort. I have a right when I return home to call my church together and to say to my church, brethren, this is what God has done. They're praying for me every day. They're praying for my wife and my family and seeking to care. I have a responsibility to them. And you will have a responsibility first to God, for your answerable to Him and to Him alone when the final statement is made. But will you remember this? That those that you've asked to pray for you are those that will have a right to look at you and say, we've prayed, have you worked? We've given, have you studied? We've sought in our small sphere to labor. What intensive Bible study have you put in that souls may be saved? I haven't spoken of this. That believers may be taught and helped. That churches may be established. I have been with you here in Australia for such a short time. And what right have I, even to pass comment? When I look at the map of your state and think of the cities in your state where there is no witness to the name of God as far as a New Testament assembly, a New Testament church is concerned, I realize that there's a work in the foreign field, but brethren, you've a work here in your own state. I had the privilege of traveling up by road from Melbourne. We were going to come up by train, but a dear brother was coming this way and very kindly offered to bring me, and I grasped at the opportunity just to see a little more of Australia. I've seen a terrible lot of the inside of gospel chapels and tents, and that's about all. But anyway, we came up. But you know the thing that struck me most of all? It was not your scenery, it was as dry as dust. I tell you the thing that struck me most of all, that we came to town after town after town, and I said, Mr. Morrison, is there a fellowship here? No. Is there a fellowship here? No. Is there a fellowship here? And you know, coming up from Melbourne to Sydney, you pass through a lot of fairly large towns. And every time I ask, no assembly, no assembly, no assembly, no assembly. I wonder, Mr. Missionary and the Chad, sir, whether you have not more assemblies in the Chad per head of the population than they have per head of the population in Australia. Oh, there's a work for Jesus ready at our hand. Please God that each one of us, not only my young friends here, but each one of us may say, Lord, I'm going to put some intensive Bible study in, that I'll be able to take the Word of God to my friends and neighbors. And may it be so for His name's sake.